Welcome into All Pro Lines, the podcast, everybody. Good day to you. This feels like the kind of day where we listen to a little extra of the intro music. That's what it feels like. Everybody, we appreciate you. We love you. It's good to be here. I'm good. I'm being grateful today. I've got some good things going on in my world, and I'm happy that it's all it's a little cliche, but I'm feeling grateful. I went to first of all, everything's okay with the hurricane and or the earthquake, and I got a couple of texts from people. Are you okay? And I get these alerts with the phone, and it's like the world is exploding out there. Don't go out. It's dangerous. And I look out the window. It's like a Bill Hicks bit. I look up war, death, destruction, AIDS, homelessness, and I look out the window. It's literally like I didn't even need an umbrella. It's weird how little it affected us here in this direct area. I don't mean to minimize. I know there's things that happen elsewhere, but they need to do a better job of warning us with the scary warnings that are not even close to being what's happening in the immediate area that you're in. I actually went and played cards for a while. It was just like nothing going on. Went and ran some errands, got some school supplies, did all the regular life stuff, and it was like needed an umbrella some of the time. I don't know. Also thought it was funny. I got an earthquake alert. Run for your lives, shelter in place, hide under a table. And I look at it and it says 9 minutes ago. Well, I didn't really. That's not really very helpful for me. Whatever, it's fine. Hillary was a little disappointing. Must have been those emails. I did a show. I did two shows on Saturday in Bakersfield, California. And I was anxious because I have had a very cushy summer, and I'm grateful for that too. I went to Greece. I went to Key West with Glenn. I went to Colorado with friends. I went back to Atlanta to help do some stuff and see mom and hang with my bro and see some buddies. And I've been doing some radio things and working on stuff here and there and booking get, but largely I've had a very like cushy professional life the last couple months. So I was rusty as fuck, and I was, you know, when you're a comic, I've been doing it forever, so it's in my bones, and it's somewhat natural to me, but it's also far away when you haven't done it for a while, and it's like anything, you fade, some of your skills fade, and the words aren't on the tip of your tongue. It's hard to lean in with the swagger and the confidence and the timing that it requires to hold the attention of 100 plus people in a comedy environment. So I was a little anxious about it all. And I had a partnership deal with the local affiliate in Bakersfield, and they crushed it, and the club did well, and I did well, and we sold out the first show, and the second one was pretty full, and the audiences were amazing. And I did sweat a little. I did have a couple beats where the words weren't quite where I want them to be quickly enough, but I remembered my act, and I did all the homework. I've been working on the Dry Bar special. I'm going to tape a Dry Bar special in about a month in Provo. If you're in the Utah area, please come see me. I would so love to have some people who already know and like me in the audience for the taping. That would really be great. So I've been thinking a lot about the Dry Bar special. I kind of ran that set with a couple of exceptions. I leaned into a cuss word or a little edgy part that I'm going to have to leave out. But I did a lot of the homework on that, and I listened to my act, and I thought a lot about it, and I talked to myself in the car the whole drive. And I also ran all the football jokes, And I also did some new stuff I've never done, which is, it was cool to have all of that in the same, and the crowds were amazing, and I sold a sea of koozies, and everyone was thrilled. The station, the club, the, made some good money, and it was just a pleasure. I drove back, and it was kind of lucky with the timing, with the weather. I basically drove up there at 1 o'clock. It's a couple-hour drive. I did the two shows, and I drove home. And I got home right about 2 a.m., and the rain from Hillary started about 7 a.m. So I got home. I got to sleep. It's just – life's good. I've had a lot of time with the kids lately, and the little one is a bit of a – you know, she's challenging some boundaries and tricky sometimes. And the rest of the time, she's a glorious pleasure to be with. So, and the big one is, of course, a cool chick now. So – anyway, too much ramble for me, but life's good, and I appreciate it. We got a few people in here. What's up, Jerry? Ryan? Appreciate you guys coming and saying hello. If you're listening to this and you don't know, we do it live on Facebook Live at 11:30 Pacific on Mondays. That's our current time slot. Next week, we're going to skip one more. I have 1 week off, and then it's every week through the Super Bowl. So next week we're off, and then we're doing every other week in August, and that's weekly. I'm excited, man. I mean, I am such a fantasy dork. I just signed up for some more best ball tournaments. I am such a fan of it. It is so fun. Do the slow drafts. Each pick takes it doesn't take. Usually it's pretty quick. In some cases it's pretty quick, but you get 8 hours to make your pick. So you could be in the middle of work or whatever you're doing or sleeping. And then when you get a sec, you check your phone and you're like, oh, well, look at Chase Claypool still available here in the 13th round or whatever. It's fun. I just love it. The king of all best ball is, of course, why am I blanking on it? It's so stupid. It's their sponsor. Underdogfantasy.com. And if you use the promo code ALLPROLINES, they'll match your initial deposit up to $100. So put in $100. You got $200 in there. You're playing around. You're doing fun stuff. They also have season-long overs and unders for lots of stuff. Pat Mahomes yards and Kirk Cousins touchdowns. And you can bet on all kinds of crazy stuff. It's really cool. Rod Schultz jumping in here. Awesome. Good to see you, buddy. Danny Johnson, friend of the podcast, been on the show. Good to see you, man. Underdog Fantasy, use the promo code ALLPROLINES. It's awesome. I got gigs coming up. I did a little extra, like put some gigs in, make sure we got the gigs and get my chops up before I do the taping. So I'm going to do Toledo, Youngstown, and Dayton, all Ohio here coming up. And then I'm going to Albuquerque right before my taping, and then Provo is the big taping. And then at the weekend after that, I'm doing Redding, Chico, and Talent, Oregon. So that area, Pacific Northwest. So if you're out there, come see me. I suppose these things are debatable, but I think I've never been better. It's been fun. I'm really enjoying being a comic, and I'm excited that I got a bunch of cool gigs on the docket here coming up. I have rambled quite a lot. Let's do some jokes. That seems like something we should do.
The 2 minute drill.
LA's weird, man. There's a strike now against artificial intelligence. You got artificial breasts and lashes and lips and foreheads and cheekbones and asses, but you draw the line in intelligence? Wait, first of all, there's a branding problem with this. Artificial intelligence. You can't put artificial in the name of the thing. You certainly can't open with it. You can't call them artificial titties. That's a stupid construct. So a lot of talk about artificial. It is, I mean, I'm exaggerating a little bit for the joke, but it is part of what they're fighting about here in LA. The whole industry is shut down, man. This place is weird. I drive around, I go get some toothpaste, and there's a picket line in the. You know, I support the writers in particular because I feel like I'm one of them. at least in spirit. And the actors, too. I think they're right. But it is a tricky balance. And anyway, so I've been obsessed with this whole story. And I went to ChatGPT and I asked him to write me a football joke. You ready for this? What did the football player – why did the football bring string to the game? Because he wanted to tie up the score. Yeah, it was just a sea of these. I kept asking in different ways. Why did the football team go to the bakery? Because they needed a role model. This is what the computer writes when you ask it to write you a football joke. First off, it's interesting that they're riddles, right? They're question and answer. And every one of them ends with an exclamation point. It's like the computer wants you to use a rim shot on these jokes, or at least a firm lean in. And then I realized the jokes sound like they're written by a non-native English speaker. So I started reading them in the accent of Yakov Smirnoff, and they became a lot more fun. Why did Tom Brady go to the bakery? To get his daily bread, just like his Super Bowl wins, always fresh and plenty. That is an actual joke that ChatGPT wrote for me. Why did the team go to the bank? To get their quarterback. Huh? What a country. Those are actual jokes. So someday these things are going to get better and better and better at what they are. But right now my job is safe. I am not worried about AI taking my job just yet. Saints tight end Jimmy Graham was arrested after he was found wandering in traffic. Jimmy Graham is too old to play football. He should run for Congress or president. Peyton Manning's returning to the University of Tennessee as professor. For the first time, his head shape will match his job. So that's good. I hope it's not a geography class. The answer to every question will be Omaha. Where does Warren Buffett live? Omaha! Where was the ski lift invented? Omaha! Where is the world's largest ball of stamps? Omaha! What's the capital of Nebraska? Omaha! No, it's Lincoln. I tricked you at home. I know I did. Aaron Rodgers is the star of this year's Hard Knocks. Thank God that guy's finally getting some attention. He's earned it. He's a thoughtful gentleman. Now that he's with the Jets, we should call him Broadway Joe Rogan. Does New York really need some conspiracy theories about Jets to pile on with at this point? Is that what they need? It's not what they need. And the player who's the subject of the movie The Blind Side said his adoption was a lie. Hollywood fronts the truth. I'm blindsided. It's disgusting for a couple to let a young athlete live with them so they can make a ton of money. That's the job of a university. And with that, we'll bring in the man who wrote that last joke, Brian Miller, everybody.
Hey, hello.
Hey, buddy. Good to see you.
Yeah, oh, the season is so close.
Look at us. We both have green backgrounds.
Oh, yeah.
We're very football.
It's happening. It's all happening.
It is. I haven't talked in a while. How's life?
Not bad. I was just at the Alternating Currents Comedy Festival in Iowa. That was pretty fun. Did some shows.
That's an interesting title. What does that mean?
It's a comedy and music and art. So they had some bands playing down there. Everything was free. Every show in town was free. And there were shows going on every day from like 3 o'clock to my last show ended at 1:30 in the morning.
Wow. What city was that?
Davenport, Iowa. Chris Schlichting was involved, our pal from the Renwick Mansion.
I know Chris Schlichting, and I know Davenport. That's cool. I love that's that's a little teeny tiny taste of Edinburgh, right? It's like all day long, lots of different things happening all over the city. That's cool. I didn't know that was a thing. Did I lose you? I said something boring. Brian's struggling with a technical something. I can't hear you. Can you unmute yourself maybe? No, you look handsome, but I can't hear you at all. There you are. No, I lost you again. Do something different. It says you're muted on the screen for me. Can you unmute yourself like on the computer instead of on the... No, I hear nothing.
How's that?
That's much better.
Yeah. All right. A little technical. I'm literally taking this computer into the shop tomorrow, for real.
It's fun to see you because I can literally see the panic on your face.
Yeah, the people just listening don't get to see me going,
I'm gonna try this. And I could literally see you mouth, "Can you hear me now?" And I go, "No."
Yeah.
Shaking my head, no. So that sounds like a great festival.
It was. It was a lot of fun. And I'm going to, sort of a plug, do it later, but I'm going to Louisville for the Caravan this weekend.
Oh, I weaseled you in there.
You did. So I got 5 shows at the Caravan, Thursday, Friday, Saturday in Louisville. So come on out, Louisville.
It's got a lot of heart. It's not pretty on the inside. Don't look at it with the lights on, but it's been there. It's been there since like 81 or something. And it's got all the history baked into it, and the crowds are nice, and the layout is good. It's a little gritty, and it's cool. You'll enjoy it, man.
Nice. Gabe Kia was on that festival from Cincinnati, and he had just been there and said it was a great time.
I know that name. How do I know Gabe Kia?
Big old tall fella, redhead. Been in Cincy for like 15 years.
Wow. Usually I'm good at this game. I'm getting old or something.
Funny guy, yeah.
Okay, cool. Cool. So go see Brian in Louisville, and come see me in Ohio next month. I'll be at Toledo.
You're the next month, not next week. Technically, you know, Ohio, Louisville, not that far. You could, you know, if it was the same weekend, someone could.
That's right. Especially Dayton, it's kind of close.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's cool, man. Yeah. All right, let's do. We can dive into a couple of the segments that we do here. We can do this, right? Let's. This is a little bit. I'm pressing this a little bit.
But now it's time for which comes first. Oh, yes, it's time for which comes first. Now tell me, will this happen before that happens? It's time for which comes first.
Glenn's best work.
Yeah. I still can't believe he sings it live behind you every time.
He's right here.
He's dedicated.
Yeah, he's over here drinking and singing. Wouldn't put it past him. We should make him do it live when he comes on next time.
Oh, absolutely, you should.
This one's a little stretch. This is sort of shoehorning it into the segment, but I was surprised to discover. Let's quiz you a little bit. What's the over under on the win totals for the Falcons and Vikings this season?
The Vikings win total is 9.5. The Falcons win total is 7.5.
It's almost exactly what I would have guessed.
Sure.
And the answer is kind of weird because they're both 8.5.
Hmm.
Right?
It's not even that 8.5 seems so wrong for the Vikings. It's that whatever the Falcons win total is, it's worse.
How could it be the same for those two teams?
I know Minnesota's going to have a regression. I know last year you're not going to win that many one-score games.
Right.
But, I mean, we're playing plenty of kind of enough weak-sauce teams that, like, 8 shouldn't be hard to get to.
I agree. Your division is a pile of shit right now, because Aaron Rodgers is gone. The scary monster has left the building. And
the Bears are a year away from being good still.
I think that's true. And I think people talk about the Lions, but you got to show it to me first. I mean,
people are kind of willing the Lions into a powerhouse spot because it's like every year at March Madness, whoever's the 33rd ranked team or whatever, whoever's like the worst seed, you know, people are like, I don't know, I think Gonzaga could go, whatever small school it is. And it's like, yeah, because it's dramatically interesting, but like, it's probably gonna be somebody in like the top 8 that's still an underdog, you know. Everyone's trying to project the Vikings or the Lions are okay now, and that's great because they were terrible. They didn't win a game a few seasons ago, not one game. So, but like, just the idea that Aaron Rodgers leaves and then Dan Campbell, just because he like drinks enough coffee, can like make the Lions go 14-3 is preposterous.
I agree with you. I think we want them to be good so badly, and their fan base deserves it so much, and it would be a fun story to have that we. We're willing it. I don't think they're that good yet. I don't.
Goff is their quarterback. That's what's funny is the people who will give the Vikings a crap win total go, 8.5? Well, don't forget you got Kirk Cousins under center. It's like,
yeah.
You're telling me that Kirk Cousins isn't better than Jared Goff? That's absurd.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, that's the thing about the Vikings. Like, they probably have right now the best quarterback in the division. And yep. About the 11th best quarterback in the league. Like, yep. That could be a good team.
With the number one receiver, number two receiver in the NFL.
At number two, Jordan Addison. You put him up there already?
Yeah. No. I mean, Jefferson's one or two. I would say Jefferson's up there. You know, the old boy from Green Bay went to the Raiders. Davante Adams. Adams is really good. Ja'Marr Chase. And JJ, I think those are probably my three top. You know, Cooper Kupp,
I'll buy all that. AJ Brown, you could throw in there.
AJ Brown could be. But I mean, nobody would deny that Jefferson is like if you make an argument for him as one, people are going to go, well, maybe, you know, he's a strong candidate.
Yeah.
And so we have decent. You know, I think Addison could be solid. I'm excited about seeing Addison, and then KJ Osborne, who is our WR3. You know, you don't have to be a great three. When Jefferson, if you got Jefferson and a solid two, so if Addison can kind of pick up the slack where Thielen left off before he got a little too old, I mean the big problem with the Vikings, and I'll tell you where I go under versus over on that 8-5 because I don't think that 8-5 is crazy. Their offensive line sucks, and there is no indication right now that offensive line has gotten better, and I think they might have worked themselves into a situation where. You have your main weapon is a passing attack that is literally – it's like you can never get the bullet in the gun in time. Yeah, Kirk Cousins is good and Jefferson's great. But if Kirk Cousins has, you know, two-thirds of a second to hold the ball, like what's Jefferson supposed to do about that?
Right. Yeah, I agree. I thought you said one and two. I thought you were jumping on the Jordan Addison train.
Oh, no, not that. No, not that. I mean, he could be very good. I'm very excited to see him, and I think he's going to get a lot of opportunity. But I don't think he's going to be like Jefferson Part 2. I think kind of like the way that Packers fans have just weirdly come to assume that you draft a guy and he's like top five because they had two great quarterbacks in a row. I know they didn't draft far, but same thing. I feel like Vikings fans have gotten spoiled. It's like, well, we got Diggs, and we lost Diggs, so then we got Jefferson, so then we got another guy, and he'll be like Jefferson. It's like, that's not how that works usually.
He's very fast. He likes to drive fast, too.
Yeah. And he said he was like, his dog was sick? He had a great excuse. Which is like, I'm not saying it was accurate at all, but it was smart to pick a dog thing.
Am I mistaken in thinking it was a Lamborghini SUV? Is that to me that was the takeaway? Like,
oh,
what?
I didn't see that detail. That's amazing. I mean, here's the good thing. We know he had no drugs or alcohol in his system, because after you're driving 140, they're checking.
Oh, they want to know. Yeah. They plan to take you immediately to jail. Right.
Yeah, so the fact that I was like, well, he didn't have a gun and he didn't have drugs or booze in his system because there's no way they would have let that slide. So like, so then, you know, I'm not defending, you know, who among us 20 didn't time or two see how fast we could get a car to go? We just didn't have the kind of car that would get to 140.
That's right.
You know, I mean, because if it would
have. I totally agree with you.
I definitely took a car over 100 miles an hour just to see if I could. And it was like a Honda Civic, but you know,
that was way more dangerous than a Lamborghini SUV at 140.
Yeah, exactly. It's probably exactly. That was like a country road with deer standing on the side or whatever. So like, I'm not saying it's great, but I mean, like, I'm not ready to go. He's a cancer on the league. You know, like he has a lead foot. Like, you know, there's a good chance. Right. We'll see.
No drugs, didn't beat up his girlfriend, not drink. He's a choir boy by NFL.
That's the thing is, the people talk about, you know. They talk about the crime stuff in the NFL is overplayed. Not that there's not some real jerks, but like you hear about all these NFL players. It's like, well, there's 53 of those guys versus 8 guys on a basketball team. So just the bat, the multiple, there should be 6 or 7 times more crimes in the NFL, based on the numbers. And then you add on the fact that a lot of NBA players are in their 30s. Most NFL players are in their 20s. Like, it's such a fast league that we think of the old guys who are still there. But what percentage of the league on an active roster on any given day is under 27? Dumb decision age.
Yeah, you're right. And also, we think about the life that they've led to get to this point. In most cases, they have been absolute athlete rock stars since they were 10. They've been coddled. They've been pushed through. They kind of let things slide for them. You know, they're big stars in high school. They're big stars in college. And they're handed a giant mountain of money and a lot of big, bright, white lights and pressure. I'm surprised there's not more crazy stories.
You know? I agree. I think it, you know, the bad examples are obviously terrible, you know, but like people act, it's not like it's not like nobody ever crashed a drunk driving crash like Ruggs did, you know, like it's terrible that that happened. But like, I remember my wife was on a jury just a couple weeks ago and it was a DUI trial. And they ask everybody in the jury box, raise your hand if you've had a DUI. And she was like, a third of the people raised their hands. And then they said, raise your hand if you or an immediate family member has had a DUI. And she said, I was like the only one who didn't raise my hand. You know,
right.
I mean, people forget that like the world just looks like that. But the NFL kind of gets banged for it. And I think people are always looking for these young black guys to slip up. I find it a little bit frustrating. So I'm, you know, now again, if somebody's hitting their girlfriend or whatever, I'm no bueno, but kid drives too fast or like guy has weed. I'm really struggling to be angry about these things.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think you're right. I think there's a little sliver of racism in there. And there's definitely a big chunk of it, which is we love to see heroes fall.
Right? Oh, yeah, people yeah, yeah. It's a soup. It's a whole gumbo of bad luck.
They seem rich and famous, and their lives are easy compared to ours. And so when they screw up with, oh, we just love that shit. Yeah.
Plus, usually the scolders, the finger waggers are older, right? That's an older person thing to do. And like, we're back in my day. And you're like, yeah, I'm pretty sure these 75 Jets were up to some business, too. We just didn't hear so much about it. Like, from everything I know about the 70s, everything was wilder. Like, yeah. You know, the drugs were wilder, the sex was wilder, everything was weirder in the 70s.
That is a good point. Wait, did you say WR for short for wide receiver?
Yeah, WR3.
Actually, more syllables.
You know, it is. I've been editing football, so a little plug. So I've been editing for the Zone Coverage, this Minnesota sports website. I just do football, and then I edit for this new site called The Noise. And I read so much football writing now that, like, you know, I'm putting in a lot of. You're using the same name, so you're trying to find some pronouns or whatever in the articles to like mix it up a little bit because you're right. you said Addison seven times, so you go WR2. That's a great one. So my brain has started like working football editing.
Hey, I don't want to get too far off the subject, but talk to me. How is AI affecting your world? Is it bled into your existence at all?
No. Yeah. Okay, here's the one way it has. So I write fiction. I write short stories. AI doesn't write good short stories at all. It's kind of like those jokes that you read where you're like, what do they always say about – that's the thing about a bear riding a bicycle. It doesn't really matter how well he does it. You're just impressed that he's doing it at all. It's kind of like that.
Yeah,
that's a good,
great way to say that. Right. It is amazing that a computer can write a joke, but they're terrible.
Yeah, they're undeniably jokes. Like the Tom Brady, like your baker, fresh and ready. It's like, yeah, that's mathematically a joke. It's not funny, but mathematically it's kind of a joke. AI wrote a really great joke, I hate to admit. I think he wrote for The Onion or whatever, was goofing around with AI, and he had AI write jokes about the war, or try to write headlines for The Onion, and it wrote, experts warn war in Ukraine could grow more boring. And I was like, that's actually good.
But
I think that's kind of like, if you throw 1,000 darts at the thing with your eyes closed, one's going to hit a bullseye. I don't know that it means the computer's good. Anyway, but what's happened in fiction writing is not that people are using AI to write stories that are getting through, but in magazines that pay more money, the ones I want to get into, these idiots are trying to just get the money. So they're having AI write all these stories and sending them in. And of course, you can generate these very quickly. None of the stories are slipping through, but what's happening is it's choking the editors. It's like, it's causing a bottleneck where they're like, this magazine that used to get 300 submissions gets 1300, and they don't know how to comb the real ones out of the AI ones. So it's making them like not take open submissions and stuff like that. So it's more like, it's not necessarily that they're making better needles, but they're making the haystack so much bigger that it makes it harder for you.
Right, right. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I mean, I'm just knocking around. My friend Jeff is kind of like a casual, you know, writer a little bit here and there on the side. And he had the beginning of a story that he fed it to AI. And AI wrote like the next few paragraphs. And he goes, it was pretty good. It kind of hurt my feelings. Like, I didn't really want it to be true, but it was something. And I talked to a Hollywood writer here. It's actually the woman who wrote 80 for Brady. She's the mother of one of my kids, curiously.
Oh, wow.
And she was saying, one of my kids' friends. She was saying that it is possible that AI will eventually, you know, be good at writing something like a Law and Order sort of episode, a construct. You can feed it, you know, 300 Law and Orders.
Two and a Half Men or something like that. And the real danger for screenwriters is adaptations. So you go, okay, well, we used to pay a guy to write an adaptation of Fight Club, or a guy to write an adaptation of, you know, whatever. The Godfather was an adaptation. Well, now you just feed the novel into the thing, and then it spits out a screenplay that's basically a translation of the novel, and then you just essentially edit the screenplay.
Right. So you would, instead of having 10 writers, you could theoretically have a very good machine and a few writers to make it human.
That's exactly what you do. Now, all of this, I would argue, is fine as long as you don't care about good art. But all the examples I use is like the thing about The Godfather and Fight Club. Exactly. Fight Club is a really interesting book, and it's a really great movie. The movie's great because in the screenplay adaptation, the screenwriter made a few leaps that really diverged and really made it work better as a piece of cinema as opposed to a novel. And so, like, that never would happen on a straight one-to-one. And so on lower level stuff, if you go like, yeah, we're making a little caper movie and it's a heist and, you know, it's not very intricate. Okay, you can make a meh caper movie. But if you want to make a great crime movie, if you want a great horror movie, and if you want to make Hereditary, computer's not going to give you Hereditary. A computer's going to give you maybe Scream 6 at best.
Right, and not even that. I mean, certainly in the current universe, it's not going to be able to do something that good, even that good.
No, I think in 5 years, it's not going to give you Scream. It might give you Scream 6 in 5 years, or, you know, Friday the 13th 7 or something. You know, something really formula-based where it's basic slasher. But, I mean, what you're, as a movie fan, I'm always looking for innovation, even if it's a little bit. That's what makes a movie. And so even that one or two little leap, that weird human thing, it's almost based on error or potentially a mistake. You know, sometimes you think about some movies that you watch and you go, well, that seemed like a bad decision, but then it turned out really cool. Well, the computer would never make the effort or make the risk of the bad decision.
Right.
You know, that's the stuff. And that's what makes everything interesting. So I think that, again, maybe the biggest problem is that people start making a lot of crappy horror movies. And the same problem with the submissions for the stories, right? The haystack gets bigger. That said, the funny part is the writer's the cheapest part of the equation. Why are we trying to replace the writer? You might as well replace the gaffer, for that matter. Like,
right.
What you need is an AI movie star, not an AI screenwriter.
Yeah. So the writer that I was talking to about this said it's actually a scarier problem in the immediate future for the actors, because the offer on the table was for the actors to, you know, like, come in, get a day rate of $85 or whatever that is, and they tape you talking and get your name and everything. And then they make you into whatever they want forever in perpetuity for the rest.
Which is insane and such an obvious violation of every version of the copyright law and humanity and everything about it. It's like so obviously evil. And I think that extras is the real, I mean, like, I know extras like not a great job, but like they said that, oh yeah, you get one day as an extra and they'll just CG you into the back of a coffee shop sipping coffee. But then also this shows the degradation of art in America, like the quality of art we're producing is so bad right now. The highs are high, but the mid-level art in America is garbage. You go back and pick 10 80s movies at random and watch 10 mid-grade 80s movies, and they look like the best movie you've seen because they have full sets shot on location. They have bigger actors. They're shot on film. Everything looks fuller and richer. And these are like crap, like Porky's 2 looks better than most movies made right now. Because you watch movies right now and it looks like it was shot at a Pottery Barn in front of a green screen with three fake extras stuck in the middle. They'll CGI the smoke coming out of somebody's cigarette. Everything looks fake. It's like they don't even try to do anything practically anymore.
Yeah, that's a fair complaint. It's so weird.
Like, burning cars is one of my least favorite CGI things, where I'm like, if you can't buy an $800 crap car and set it on fire and film it, you should not be making a movie. You know, like, I understand if you want to have the Burj Khalifa get sucked into the sky by an alien beam, you might need to fire up the computers. But you see squib gunshot wound blood squirts and flaming cars and the breath on the cold and all this crap that CG
right.
It just makes everything look like a garbage VR simulation.
Yeah, the breath thing is it makes me think of Madden, actually playing Madden on football. Like,
yes, if I was in charge of anything in Hollywood, the first thing I would do is I would say any by penalty of death if you put CGI breath when it's cold in a scene, because I intellectually know that if they're wearing jackets and they're talking, I should see their breath. I'm aware of that, but I will quickly forget about that. It's suspension of disbelief. We're watching a movie. I don't. They should be sweating profusely when it's hot, and they usually don't. I forget about that too. But when you CGI the breath, every single little stupid fake-looking white puff out of their mouth reminds me it's a movie. It's fake. It's a movie.
Right.
Total movie ruiner.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right. So to complete the cycle, this has been a long way to get here. Which comes first, the Vikings over on 8-5, or the Falcons over on 8-5 wins on the season?
Oh, the Vikings. Falcons are going to be bad.
I don't know. Their division is even worse than your division.
Their division is terrible, but they're bad. Their quarterback is Jim Bob 3 or whatever. What's his name? What's Desmond Ritter? Is that whatever?
Jim Bob 3.
Think about how little people were excited when he was drafted, and think about how little he showed us to be excited about, and now he's coming back, and he's going to make the year 2 leap.
I think you're right, but – I just in the last week or so, I've seen a couple clips of him throwing the ball, and I see Bijan Robinson, and I've been listening to the stats for fantasy stuff. Like, the Falcons were the leading rusher in the league last year, and they just got a much better running back, and they spent a lot of money on defense. If Ritter is manageable-ish, if he's the 20th best quarterback in the league, I think they're going to be way better than anybody expects. I think it's possible that they're going to be not bad.
I mean, I'll say this. You're right in that they're not so bad that they're going to lose. They're going to win 4 or 5 games. Like, the weird thing about the Falcons is I feel like they're laser focused on winning, not on 7 or 8 games. Like, they're so guaranteed to win 7 or 8 games, but the idea of them winning 9 is like a crazy fantasy land. I just feel like it's like not, like the idea of the Falcons like winning 10 games. It's like, I would bet $1,000 to your 100 that they wouldn't win 10 games. They're not going to win 10 games.
1,000 to my 100. I would take that bet.
I might reconsider if you're actually going to take it, but they're not going to win. You know,
you don't have 1,000.
Vikings, though, I think there's a world where the Vikings win 11 games. And there's a world where the Vikings win like 6.
Yeah.
It's probably not going to happen, but their range is much wider, I think.
I think you're right. Yeah, I think you're right. Because we know who they are. We know who Kirk Cousins is. We don't really know who Desmond Ritter is.
No.
And I think broadly you're right. And I've been annoyed that, you know, in the division that's so bad and with all the money to spend, they fixed all their cap problems. Fucking spend the money and get a real quarterback. You can win.
Yeah, I know. That's what's weird about the Falcons is it doesn't – put it this way. You can see a world where someone's trying to win a Super Bowl with Kirk Cousins. I'm not saying it's going to work, but you can go – I see what you're trying to
do. Yeah, of course. Here's the bottom of the range.
World. I mean, like, if Desmond Ritter turns out to even be a good, like, playoff-level quarterback, everyone will be pretty surprised. What are the chances that he goes from this to – I mean, think about the competition that we're playing against. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow. Like, we know the level. It's very clear what level. Like, I would even argue that as much as people used to be excited about Deshaun Watson, I think Deshaun Watson is more of a Kirk Cousins level, like – yeah, he's pretty good.
Oh, sure. But
I don't think he's – I just don't think he's top tier.
He's not lately. But I mean, that's one of the big stories. It'll be fun to watch if he can kind of get that back. I feel like he's having this sort of Tiger Woods moment where he can feel everybody hating his fucking guts, and it affects his game, right? And he
also didn't play for a year and a half.
Right.
And you know, and then he came back on the Browns, which is always a tricky proposition. And I also think he was very good, but I never really bought him as like top 3 or even top 5 when he was playing well. Top 10.
I mean, statistically, he was sort of in the bottom of that top 5 range, you know, at his peak, but it was brief and, you know, we'll see.
It was brief. He was playing with New Hopkins in a pretty weak division, you know, like, I don't know. I needed to be more convinced. And now I just think with all the stuff that's gone on and all the time that he sat, think about if you took a year and a half off comp, well, pandemic wise, I guess kind of, but
I did have this experiment.
Well, actually, I didn't. In fact, it took me a year. It took me over a year to get decent at it again. So, yeah. And I don't know. And so then by the time you've done that, you've kind of aged. Now the problem is his body's gotten older, but he hasn't gotten smarter, probably. You know, he hasn't been on the field to, like, you gain the experience that outweighs the physical decline, right?
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's, like, in decline yet. But, you know, he's starting to get a little older. And he's so expensive that he prohibits some spending on the rest of the team. I think there's a world where this thing is, and I think more likely than not, I think a boondoggle, an absolute boondoggle, where a year and a half from now they realize he's not the guy, and there's nothing they can do about it for years.
I think there's a significant chance that he turns it around and is a really good NFL player this year going forward. But I'm not rooting for him. I'm rooting for Boondoggle. It would be a great story if it's
kind of perfect for the Browns. Like, if you step back and look at the bird's eye view of the Browns, it's kind of an amazing, like, they really found whole new ways to completely ruin their thing, you know? Like, the idea that they finally started to get kind of good and debatably, honestly, a decent team without him, without that kind of quarterback. They could have just drafted a non-molester. But instead, to go so all in on him so confidently in such an irretrievable way with all that guaranteed money. I mean, it's just it's like, hey, I got these wax wings. I'm going to see how close to the sun I can fly. I'll see you guys in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't think this is going to work out really well.
You're sucking up with your Greek mythology references. All right, so I will concede that I think the Vikings are more likely to hit that over, but it is going to be an interesting little thing to watch this year. I was shocked to see they had the same number. I was going to guess 9+, 9-10 for Vikings and 7-8 for Falcons.
Yeah, I mean, 9-9 to 9-5 feels about right for the Vikings to me. Now that I think about it, 8-5 is not that crazy. It's just the Falcons seem a little high to me.
I think I agree, except that the division is so bad. I mean, they could easily beat the Buccaneers. They're going to be terrible. And the Panthers are going to be terrible.
Yeah.
And they're the only team in the division that even remotely have a good quarterback.
The NFC kind of sucks in general.
Yeah, right.
I would really like some distribution of talent across the conferences, not just because of the Vikings.
Sorry. I was prepping for that, and I clicked it. Nice. Please finish.
That was a sound effect. No, I thought you were a cake rising or something like that.
All right, let's go ahead.
All right, kids, put your thinking caps on. It's quiz time.
So I was looking at all these numbers, and I'm kind of fascinated. The quiz for you, what's a two-part? We've got two questions for you here, Brian. The highest over-under is 11.5, and it's a three-way
for any
top
team.
Yep, it's three teams are at 11.5.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Name those teams.
Kansas City Chiefs.
Yes.
Cincinnati Bengals.
Yes. Oh, you're going to get this.
San Francisco 49ers.
Oh, no, the Eagles.
Oh, the Eagles. I should have gone Eagles. Of course.
Yeah, the Bengals to me was the hard one. The other two, I think, are very guessable.
Yeah, I would have. Yeah, Eagles would have gone next. I mean, because I was like, well, probably not the Bills if we've got the other two up there. Bills are probably at 10. 10.5.
Fun. I'll see. Bills and Niners are at 10.5. Look at you. Yeah. You know your shit. And then it drops down to Ravens at 9.5. We got Cowboys and Jaguars at 10.
Well, we always have to have the Cowboys high. God knows. We got to have the Cowboys. We have to expect everything from them, even though they suck every year.
I could take under on Cowboys and feel good about that.
Oh, I would take the under on the Cowboys. Again, Dak, I've said for so long, Dak Prescott is Kirk Cousins that people are excited about. I don't understand. I don't know why people are quite as down on Kirk as they are, and I don't know why people are quite as high on Dak as they are. They're both good.
I hate agreeing with you all the time. This is driving me bananas. I want to argue.
My analysis is so trenchant.
It's very good. I totally agree. I think they're about the 12th best quarterback in the league. And
yeah, if you put either of those guys on the Eagles would have the same record with either guy, basically.
Somehow Cousins is the one that you're like, I don't know. And do you like Cousins more now than you did when you watched the quarterback thing on Netflix?
My feelings are as mixed as ever, but they're more extreme on either side. So, like, I more appreciate his toughness, but also he quoted Margaret Thatcher like that was a good thing. Like he's a bigger – he's both cooler and a bigger dipshit than I thought. And I still, you know, I still think it comes down to his true Achilles heel is big game moments, I don't say this because he's politically conservative, but his small c football conservatism is his Achilles heel. It's what makes him be able to do some of those great comebacks because he's talented and he's smart and he can like grind you back in through these, yeah. You know, with this like burst of like whatever. But even when he's doing that, he's often somewhat conservative, but the bigger the moment gets, the more conservative he gets. And so he's not going to throw the 50-50 ball in the end zone to see if you win the Super Bowl. You know, I don't know that he throws the Minnesota Miracle pass.
Right.
That was Case, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that was Case.
Because Case will fling it, man. Keenan would fling it. And I mean, he's not as good as Kirk, but like, I the thing that people say about Kirk, like he's bad in big moments, is a little overrated, but there's something to it. And his conservatism, it's what keeps him from being great. Whereas you see a guy who just swings his balls around a little more and just like, hey, I'm the man. I mean, like Aaron Rodgers is a jerk, but that confidence, that swagger, Cam Newton swagger from when, you know, his early days, you know, like those are the guys. I think Mahomes is kind of a rare thing. He's got swagger. He's certainly confident. But Mahomes is just like centered and better than everybody else.
Yeah. And, you know? Yeah. And diplomatic and kind, and yet still has a little of that, like, I'm the fucking man.
Yeah, he still has that swagger, but I think he has it in the perfect dose.
I agree.
His perfection is so, I just think he's the greatest quarterback because it's not just his talent, it's like he has everything in just the right levels. If, like, if you screw any of those levels up, if he's more cocky, if he's less cocky, you know, if he's, you know, he's a little bit of a dork, but I think a little bit of dorkiness is good, but he's not a total dork. He's cool and his players respect him. Like, it's exactly where you want him to be. People were bagging. I've actually had an irritating thing where people bagging on his wife from watching quarterback.
Yeah.
I like his wife. And I think people underrate something. He's a very centered, calm dude. And in a world where it would be very hard to be calm and centered. Mm-hmm. And his wife has to have a big part of that. The fact they've been together for so long that there's just this whole wild part of his life that he's just like kind of doesn't focus on.
Right.
Just, if I'm Andy Reid, I'm like, yes, keep being with your high school sweetheart. Have another kid, you know, bring her over. I'll make, you know, like, you want your quarterback to be like centered by somebody like that, to not to have distract. You know, people always talk about distractions when there is the distraction. They talk about Kyler Murray's PlayStation, but they don't talk about the guy with the cool wife or the guy with the, like, the chill family, or the, obviously that would cut the same way for a female athlete too, but just the guy with the good circumstance, with the mom and the dad who do the right stuff to like keep him from being distracted. That's what keeps you from the knucklehead stuff that throws you off track.
Yeah. When you have him on a dynasty league, you want him to have the boring, weird wife back, of course.
And Kirk's good for that. I mean, in a lot of ways, it's just that, again, you wish you could turn that swag dial up just a little bit, you know, like that.
Yeah.
That kind of go for broke, screw it, I'm going to do it anyway, you know, that he doesn't have much of that as a human being.
He is even less scintillating as a person than I thought he was. But he is more likable because he puts his head down and he works hard. And you see him go through all of the motions, all of the things, and all of the tape, and all of the study, mm-hmm. and all of the thinking, and all of the focus. And that, see those mic'd up clips of him just getting fucking hammered, and he's literally like moaning on his way back to the line.
Yeah,
and I found that very compelling. It's like, all right, I think this guy is easy to root for, even though I don't really like him personally. Like, he's not somebody I would want to hang out with.
I mean, he's friends with like Betsy DeVos, and he's got some weird views. And
yes, right.
Yeah, I mean, he seems like a genuinely good person. I'll say that. Kind of person I want to hang out with.
Right, right.
If you had a flat tire, he'd help you fix it.
Of course.
You needed $5, he'd give it to you. Like, he truly seems like a good human being, and even though I disagree with him. But I feel like he frustrates you, but then people underrate him so much that you get defensive. And you go, no, Kirk's my guy, you know? Like, it's such an interesting phenomenon as a Vikings fan, where you can never get too excited or too yes, but you can never be too – I don't know. I find it just – I'm just okay with being in the middle at this point. You know, I'm just saying, like,
Yeah.
He's frustrating, but he's interesting. You take the good with the bad. I could be watching so much worse football with so many teams than I get to watch.
Oh, I would happily trade you quarterbacks. I would much rather have.
I've enjoyed watching him these years. I mean, he's the best quarterback the Vikings have had since I lived in Minnesota. You know, if you minus literally that one year that Favre was still pretty good, but mostly it was like a hot roster around him.
What about Dante Culpepper? He was so
good. I didn't live in Minnesota when Dante Culpepper.
Oh. Okay.
My first year here was Favre.
Okay. So, all right.
So that's inside, but that's 15 years. That's a long time.
It is a long time. I didn't realize it's been that long.
So yeah, Culpepper. So 15 years of out of 50 of those 15 years, I mean, Christian Ponder was just a nightmare. Teddy B was such a lovable guy, and I think he would have had a little better career. But in retrospect, I think people are fooling themselves if they think that without an injury, Teddy would have been much better than Kirk is now.
Yeah.
I think Kirk now was Teddy's ceiling. He's a really great dude. I root for him, whoever he plays for. But, I mean, it's not like he had the Joe Burrow trajectory. You know, he didn't even have Carson Wentz trajectory.
Right. Yeah, of course. It's funny. I found a Vikings fan during the show in Bakersfield, California this week.
We travel about.
It was a funny moment because I go, how did you become a Vikings fan? Are you from there? He goes, no. And there's a long pause. And I go, well, why are you a Vikings fan? And he goes, primary color. He goes, it's not a primary color. That's red and blue, motherfucker.
Yeah. Red and blue and yellow. That sounds like a Vikings fan, though. Doesn't
not a primary color.
Too drunk to know his colors. It's primary.
Okay, last thing. The lowest over-under for wins on the season. There's one team that stands alone. 4.5.
Let me flash through. The Buccaneers have got to be really low.
There's a bunch of 6.5 teams, but nobody is as low as this one team.
They're 5-5.
4-5.
So they're full two wins under them. There's no 5-5s.
Nope.
Whoa.
Yeah, they suck.
I'm going to just run through the teams off the top of my head. I mean, not the Broncos. No, definitely not the Broncos. I guess I could Buccaneers?
The answer is the Arizona Cardinals.
Oh, right, because Kyler.
Yeah.
He's still hurt, right?
Yeah. He's probably coming back, but it's a question mark, and the rest of the team's terrible.
And even if he comes back, what does that mean?
Yeah, they're in a rebuild. I get it. I understand.
Yeah, the Cardinals
are one of the many 6-5 teams with the Texans and the Rams. Interesting.
Oh, yeah. They've been bad long enough. I should know. But in your mind, you're like, well, the Rams.
The Rams are good. No, the Rams, did exactly what the Buccaneers did. I wish my team would do that. Spend all your money at once, go all in, win the Super Bowl, suck for 3 years. Fine, I would happily trade that.
Yeah, I think as long as it works.
Right.
And usually you get a couple of year window, by the way.
It doesn't work, and then you still suck for a few years. That's true.
Yeah, I mean, the Packers kind of sort of – I don't know. It's been interesting to watch the Packers teeter on that brink. Like, the Packers were never willing to go that one extra salary, that one extra thing, you know. And so they hovered, and then it's like, woo, good luck. I'll see you in a while.
They could have helped Aaron Rodgers with some shit that wasn't Jordan Love. I understand why he was pissed about that.
Oh, completely. Oh, completely. Yeah. I can't stand that guy, but 100%. Oh, are you enjoying his Hard Knocks performance?
Very much. I find him to be so likable, and I don't like him.
I mean, I do. I still don't find him to be likable. I think he's a smug jerk. But
he's definitely smug, but he's also playful, and he knows the details of some of the other players around, and he's kind and generous to these dudes, and they're from other completely different walks of life, and he's like one of them when he's with them. The players love him. He's more likable than I thought he was going to be, for sure.
Well, I mean, keep in mind they get to edit the footage, and he is as media
savvy. And he knows the camera's on, and he's right.
He's as media savvy as any person in the NFL, and his media savviness comes from his disingenuous. He basically lies about how media savvy he is.
Right. Yeah, I actually thought that when I was watching him because I found myself kind of – I was like, oh, I can't believe I like him. And then I'm like, wait a minute. fucking Ellen DeGeneres knows when the cameras are on, you know, like
perfect example. He's the Ellen DeGeneres of the NFL. I just don't find him credible, but I do think he has a true, like, total mastery of the game, and you can't not appreciate the mastery of the, I mean, like, it is like, dang, this guy's good.
Yeah. They're going to be an interesting thing to watch.
Seeing the coaches fawn over him, though, I think is a bad thing. I think if the Jets don't work out, it's going to be exactly because of Robert Saleh and their weird dipshit defensive coordinator who just stand around going, "Oh my God, we have Aaron Rodgers," and you just watch their wet panties hit the turf, and it's just like, fellas, you're the coach. Like, I mean, it's not going to help this guy's attitude when you like, "Mr. Rodgers, can I please hold your clipboard? You're the coach."
All right, man. Give us some plugs. Where do they find you? Find you in Louisville at the Caravan.
Yep, Louisville at the Comedy Caravan this Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then next week I'll be at Acme Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Six shows headlining.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so two good weeks in a row there. And then I'll be the following Wednesday, September the 6th, I am hosting the Acme's Funniest Person in the Twin Cities contest. Hopefully help somebody win some money. Well, nice. I'll introduce them and they'll win some money, and some people will lose. That'll be fun too. And then I'm on at Twitter at Real Brian Miller, and on Instagram at Funny Brian Miller. And I'm around.
Awesome, man. Awesome. It's great to catch up with you, buddy.
Yeah, indeed. Season's coming up soon.
I know. Next week is off, and it's the last week off for this podcast for the next 5.5 months. So
yeah, it's like woof, the train car starts to tilt down, and he's like, "Ooh, long, steep drop."
And then every year at about like January 15th, I'm like, "I'm tired of running football jets."
Oh, 100%. Now, I will say that you have it harder than me, though, because I'm in Minnesota. And so the hardest time for me, I'm excited about the beginning of the season, but I still got like other stuff I want to do. Come November, it sucks around here. I have no reason to go outside on a Sunday. And so then it's like, well, why wouldn't I sit around and write football jokes and watch every game? And, you know,
So
it's like totally necessary November, December, January.
I love it. And even in January and February, I still like it, but it's hard to get my ass in the seat sometimes because it's been so much in a row. So,
I'm always very aware of, like, I'll look at my like, "Oh, this is the 19th week in a row we've done this," you know?
Yeah, I know, right. Well, you're awesome, and I always appreciate your help, man. It's great to catch up with you. It's good.
Yeah, for sure. And I'll catch up soon. I'll be back on whenever.
Doing some fun gigs. All right, check me out. Kostaki.com has all the schedules for me. I'll be in Ohio and Provo and Albuquerque soon. UnderdogFantasy.com, use the promo code ALLPROLINES. I promise you, if you're a fantasy dork, try best ball. It is so fun. And do a slow draft. It's totally worth it. All right. Take it easy, guys. We'll see you next time.